Hey everybody, I wanted to fill you in on some projects that I'm trying to work on and I need your help with. First of all, a podcast is just part of what I would like to do. What I really want to do is create some really cool Mormon history documentaries. I've been really lucky. I've talked to Kurt Bench about the Mark Hoffman bombings, and I've got an upcoming interview with Shannon Flynn in just a few weeks. I've also interviewed George Throckmorton. He was the man who figured out how Mark was forging his Mormon documents. It's a pretty amazing interview. You've probably heard that I've talked with Paul Reeve. I've also interviewed Russell Stevenson and Newell Bringhurst, three of the premier experts on Black Mormon history, and I have an upcoming interview with Greg Prince. I'm really excited to do this stuff. I really want to put together some really amazing documentaries, and so here's what I need for your help. As you know, I've put together several transcripts like this one. This is our latest one with Jim Van Cannon. I've also got David Rosenvall with his Book of Mormon Geography Theory. I'd like to actually interview other people like Rodney Meldrum, and some other people about Book of Mormon geography. Here's the Paul Reeve interview I mentioned earlier. We've got Dr. Richard Bennett on the evolution of temple worship. I'm going to be talking to Greg Prince about that a little bit. I've got Brian Hales. I've talked to him about polygamy. I want to interview Dan Vogel, Craig Foster, some other polygamy experts. Darren Smith, he knows a lot about modern-day racism within the LDS Church, as well as Kurt Bench, who I mentioned earlier. So what I'm doing this month, in the month of September, from between September 1st and September 15th, all of these books, they're normally about $12. I've cut the price in half to just $6. So get your copy. It'll really help me out. I'm also going to be putting a promotion on Kindle if you like the digital version better. Those are going to be half price as well. They're normally $10. They'll be $5. So you can get a print book for $6 or a Kindle version for $5. And we're going to do this special for 2 weeks. I'd really like to see if we can get some support and build up some of these resources. I was talking with a friend today, and I've actually got interviews scheduled. If I only do them every 3 days, I've got interviews scheduled through March. If you guys can help me out, I might be able to get on a little bit faster schedule in releasing some of these. And so I'd really appreciate your help. So thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoy the next interview. We started this conversation by talking about the paternity of Josephine Lyon. It turns out that Dr. Ugo Perrego is also testing other potential children of Joseph Smith. We'll talk about the historical relationship between Orson Hyde, Joseph Smith, and Marinda Johnson. Check out our conversation.
Yesterday we're doing another Joseph Smith child through Marinda Johnson, who was married to Orson Hyde, Basil to Joseph Smith.
Yes.
And that's what we're testing right now.
Oh, you're testing that now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We sent the testing yesterday.
So is there a potential child?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
There are two, actually, that have been historically linked to possibly being Joseph Smith. And one died in his infancy, so we'll never know, because we don't even know where is he buried. But there is another one that grew up as an adult and has a posterity. And so we're looking at the Hyde, last name Hyde, descendant of Orson Hyde, that was born between Orson Hyde and Marinda Johnson. Miranda Johnson or Marinda?
Marinda Johnson.
And but because of the birth time and the association between Marinda Johnson and Joseph Smith, there is a chance that it could have been Joseph Smith as well. So I'm looking at that, and we send that. That's a Y chromosome test we did with this company, and the basic test is $169. So it's only $70 more than autosomal.
I got lucky. I had a friend who worked for Ancestry. She got me a really good deal. But.
Yeah, they do. I pay even like $50 for the Ancestry test, and I pay, you know, $100 for the family tree DNA, $120. There are discounts and special. During Father's Day, they have, you know, the Y chromosome discount, you know, I mean, all those marketing moves. But the tests are really good. They're solid. They're robust. They use equipment that is used for forensic or population study at the university level or government agency. It's the same thing. They just packet them and sell it to you for a different purpose, but the technology is all the same across. You know, it's very easy for us to use that service. It's actually a lot less inexpensive. Is less expensive to go through with a commercial company nowadays, because they buy the equipment, they have the people. You know, like in my case, I had to go to a university, ask them to do something which is not their routine. You know, there is a risk that somebody might misplace the sample because they don't know how to track them down. You know, for special project. Instead, these guys, that's all they do. You know, the tracking, the collection, it's all streamlined. So much, much better. So $169. And at that time,
I'll have to get Ancestry and Family Tree to become a sponsor.
Yeah. So Family Tree DNA is definitely the place to go for Y chromosome testing. And so question was, you know, Joseph Smith Ancestry. And then people came across, start contact me and say, well, I heard you're doing some DNA on Joseph Smith. I was going through a lot of Smith family reunion at that time with my collection of kids, you know, and collecting DNA samples. And so the words got out pretty quick in those circles that I was looking at Joseph Smith DNA. All right, that's even before anything was published, anything, you know, was presented at any conference. And so I had a descendant of Moroni Pratt that first contacted me. It's been a number of years ago, but I remember exactly where I was, what I was doing when the phone call came, and this man says, I'm a descendant of Moroni Pratt, and Moroni is recorded as Parley P. Pratt's son. And I can't remember now the name of the Marianne Frost, who was the second wife of Parley P. Pratt. And he was born December 1844, Moroni Pratt, which placed him 9 months within the death of Joseph Smith. And Marianne Frost was sealed to Joseph Smith, was never sealed to Parley. In fact, Marianne Frost is recorded as one of the first females, if not the first group, that received the temple ordinances in the red brick house, the red brick store. Level. She was there when Joseph Smith introduced the first temple endowment, and then eventually she was sealed to Joseph, and children were born, and the first one, Moroni, was linked to Joseph Smith as a possibility. I think even Fawn Brody mentions that as a possibility in her book. And so I already had Joseph Smith Y chromosome because of his other study. Now I need to have the Pratt Y chromosome. So I test the descendants of Moroni, and then I test other children of Parley P. Pratt born after Joseph Smith died, so that it wouldn't be him. And in the meantime, we also have some Horson Pratt descendants as well, which I throw in as well, because it will be in. It's the Y chromosome, so it kind of is the same for all for the Pratts that share the same ancestry. And so we find out that Moroni Pratt was not Joseph Smith's son because the Y chromosome was different, and that he matched all the other Pratts, so that he was indeed Parley P. Pratt. So now, there are some theological implications of why is that. You know, what would happen? I found a document while I was researching while I was doing this project, that had a Parley P. Pratt statement that every child that he would have with Marianne would be Joseph in the eternity. Are you with me? So every child he would have with Marianne Frost would have been Joseph in the eternity. Sounds to me very much like the Leverett marriage, where the man dies, his wife is still alive. Now, we're talking about spiritual wife here because we're talking about celestial marriage. And the next kin, which will be Brother Pratt, brother to Joseph, right, in spiritually, is raised in a posterity in the eternity for Joseph.
Well, that is very interesting interpretation, because
that's what he said. That's what Parley said. That, and it's not my word. That's what
Parley said that.
Parley said that.
So, let me make sure I'm clear on the thing. So you said that Frost. What was her first name?
Marianne Frost.
Marianne Frost was sealed
to Joseph.
To Joseph, but that was after
married to Parley.
Was she married to Parley before she was sealed to Joseph?
Yes.
That just seems so strange. Okay, but
so she was married to Parley for time, but to Joseph for eternity.
See, I think most people would be so surprised to hear that they would have a polygamous marriage that would be not for eternity. I mean, when you read DNC 132, that's what it seems like. And so it seems so
strange. We still
don't
know a lot of things about it. So, you know, if you're very negative about the whole thing, you're always going to look for the dirtiest reasons why there were these things, you know, polyandry, promiscuity,
sexual interest,
control over woman, whatever you want to, you know, bring it up. But if you are more on the, well, let's see, if, you know, were they really trying to establish some sort of celestial order on the earth? You know, who are we? We're all children of Heavenly Father, right? And it doesn't kind of almost matter how we are connected, as long as we're all connected to Him at the end, right? More of a sort of a, I believe, maybe I'm totally off, you know, I'm not a polygamy expert. I'm not a polygamist, but I'm not a polygamy expert. But it seems to me that up to Wilford Woodruff time, polygamy and temple sealing was viewed more as a universal, horizontal type of family relationship, all connected to one father, right? So at the end, it doesn't really matter. As long as you have the temple ordinances and as long as you're sealed to somebody, you're sealed to God, okay? Then after Wilford Woodruff, it seems to me that he went more on a vertical line where you have to do more of genealogy, you know, sealing fathers to children, grandparents to grandchildren, right? And everybody has to be sealed to their husband and wife and to no one else, you know? Remember, they were women. They were keep getting sealed to dead prophets, mm-hmm. up to Wilford Woodruff, right? Mm-hmm. And it was okay up to that time. It's just like, as long as I'm sealed, I'm safe, right? As long as I have an eternal husband, I'm good.
Yeah, it just seems so strange that anyway.
But I don't know. I'm just. Yeah.
This is great because I think it was just last week I posted an episode about with Brian Hales,
yeah.
about polyandry, and one of the things that he said was he believed there was no sexual polyandry in fact he did mention Frost. I didn't realize the relationship to Parley P. Pratt, but
that's to some degree is polyandry.
Yeah. But he said that Joseph never had sexual relations with any of his so-called polyandrous wives, of which there were 11 to 14.
And this is his historian conclusion. But that's Brian Hales' conclusion. No one really knows. Mm-hmm. No one really knows, you know. But we have to wonder what was the nature of a woman being alive and having some sort of documented tied or union or marriage to more than one man. Mm-hmm. You know, we are trying to speculate and guess what was the nature and the practice and the involvement and the sexuality that surrounded this union. Was it the same? Was it different from husband to another husband? You know, we are left with wondering on these things. And besides, the fact that we don't have children of Joseph Smith from polygamous relationship does not tell us anything about his sexual interaction with this woman. We all know that you don't have a child every time you have intercourse, right? But it does bring up some interesting alternative answers when you see that there are absolutely no children. You know, while Brigham Young had no problem having children with all his wives, or Joseph F. Smith, you know, or anyone else. And so why not Joseph? Was he too persecuted, too busy? He had to act secretly, so he didn't have as many opportunities to, the stress level, you know, was high. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, but the point is that, and I can see why Brian, and I actually out of all the historians dealing with polygamy, I know Brian personally. I consider him an honest researcher, and I don't think he has all the answers, and I think that with regard to certain particular situation, historical situation, he has his own bias and his own interpretation, but overall I think he's really trying to do the best that he can objectively. He researched all the original sources, he makes them available, he's trying to be very transparent, which is unusual. He has no vested interest in it. He's not a paid historian or making money out of what he's doing. I think a lot of it is just a labor of love, and very dedicated to this type of areas of Mormon history. So I appreciate what he does. He does a lot. He knows a lot more than a lot of us know about this. So he has to be taken as a valuable resource when it comes to study polygamy, particularly polygamy with regard to Joseph Smith. And he thinks probably there was no sexual relation with polyandric relationships. That's his conclusion. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, the fact that the only thing I can say, there are no children, and I can be very sure about what the genetic data said.
I hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Ugo Perrego. He's doing such a good job, I thought I'd let him introduce our next conversation.
Is Josephine the biological daughter of Joseph Smith or not? The circumstantial evidence would say yes, she's totally. The confession, the affidavit. But there could also be other explanation. I just told you, you know, the Parley P. Pratt spiritual children, you know. These children are Joseph. When? In the eternity, right?
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.